Good morning, everyone. Philip said to me last night, "Tomorrow, Lisa, you're preaching." And I said, "Wah-huh? Are you serious?" "Yes." "Are you kidding?"
"Nope."
"No." "Are you seriously kidding?" "No, you're up."
"Yeah."
So praise God. But I was immediately quite convicted because I was immediately afraid. And, I was immediately convicted in Hebrews 12 where it says, "Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." And so I started, I said, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And I noticed how easily that sin beset me. Just like that. Trucking along, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lisa, you're preaching. Oh, poopers. That sin so easily beset me. But when the Lord showed me that, I had a choice. Do I believe what the flesh is yelling at me? Or do I believe the word of God? God says, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Through Christ I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And so I have the flesh over here going, me? Really? Does he know me? But I don't know what to say, Lord. Good. But I'm a screw up, Lord. Yeah, I know. I love you anyway, and that's why I died for you. Okay. So I have a choice. What am I going to believe? Believe the lies of the flesh or believe the truth of the one true God? I said, all right, Lord, the flesh still does what it does. It was still screaming, oh! But you know what? God is good. And I thought, the more I thought on this and the more I prayed about it, the more I thought, my perspective is really wrong. I'm dreading coming up here to do a thing that I should be praising God to have an opportunity to do. I have an opportunity to come up here and talk about how good God is. Amen. Why in the world would I not want to do that? I mean, God is good. And it took me back to the basics, the simplicity of the gospel. I started thinking about how good God really is. I started thinking about what he'd done for me, what he'd done for all of us. It really hit me. While we were mocking him and spitting on him, beating the flesh off his bones, while we were doing all of that, hanging him on the cross with the nails in his hands and his feet, while we were doing all of it, because we're all guilty of it, he looked down at us and he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And that's the kind of love that our God has for all of us. And so I sat there and I said, well, what do I have to offer? And Lisa and herself has nothing. I bring nothing to the table. In this flesh, I have nothing to offer. But what I do have to offer is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what I have. That's all I got. But what more do I need? What more could I possibly ever want for? Nothing. It's all I need. It's all I want. And it's all everybody needs. And it's what I have to offer. That's it. But that's all it and all I need. That's what can save the world. It's what can save his creation. It's why he died for us. And I praise God for that. And I challenge us all to go out and share that, because that is all we have to offer, is what he's done for us and how good he is. I'm done.
So my same thought process was Lisa's thought process of, oh, no, poopers was not the word. Poopers was not the word that went through. Yeah. But I came to the same conclusion. Well, why wouldn't I want to talk about how good the Lord is and how much the Lord has blessed me? So, you know, in the aspect of we have nothing to offer but the Lord, if we know that, then we can go out in kindness, which is something that I've been trying to teach my daughters. You can speak the truth and still be kind. So it brought me to, I wrote it down because I knew I wasn't going to remember it. Brought me to Luke 6, starting at verse 27. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those which love them. And if ye do good to them which do good unto you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them whom ye hope to receive, what thank ye have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend hoping for nothing again. For your reward shall be great, and ye shall be children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. He was kind to us when we were unthankful and evil. We need to extend that kindness to others. Because in the natural, I'm still unthankful and evil. My thoughts prove that constantly. So who am I to be judgmental or condemning of other people when I am that person? So it's just going out and walking in the kindness and love, willing to speak the truth. That's it for me.
Well, you guys hang on to that. Amen. I'm glad y'all came up here and did what y'all did, but it really, it was one of, my motives are always so evil. And, you know, one of those things was like, man, if they would have just took longer, I could be up there 5 minutes and be down. And, you know, wouldn't have to be up here that long, but that didn't really work out too well. No, I'm teasing. I am teasing. You know, we go through periods. We go through our up and downs. We go through tribulations and trials. And these things, and we've talked about how these things are good for us. It tries our faith. It tries our faith. And, you know, I'm going to be going to Peter. Which Peter... It's going to be Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. Thank you, yes. And verse 6. But I want to remind us of these things. And I, you know, when Lisa's up there talking about how, you know, hey, Lisa, you're going to preach. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. Yeah, you are. I'm not as kind as others are, I suppose. But, you know, and she had that choice laid out before. You know, I mean, it's, look, thank the, I mean, she came, had to come to this place where, you know, she has nothing to offer except Jesus Christ. That's all any of us have to offer. I mean, when we're standing and getting judged and when our answer is to come about and that is what the, did you believe? Is really what it comes down to, right? Did you believe? It's not going to be, did you go and do Did you go and, you know, make a big old church and then have a soup kitchen and did all these things? No, it's did you believe on Jesus Christ and the sufficiency of His sacrifice? That is going to be the question. That is going to be the question. And I remember talking to Lisa a little bit last night, and I praise the Lord talking to Lisa a little bit last night, because quite frankly, I have not been in the greatest of places. I have not been in the greatest of places. I mean, there's been had some exciting things that have come along. And I remember, you know, I just, what came into my mind was Elijah. Elijah. Where he's, you know, and he comes in, the king's like, come on down, Elijah. Let the fire come down, consume all 50. Does it twice, and the third guy brightened up and says, look, Elijah, dude, I'm in a pickle. You're going to send fire down from heaven, kill me if I try to take you. But if I come back without you, the king's going to kill me. So, look, could you help me out? Sure, no problem. And he comes down and then he has a sacrifice before him and says, you know, look, if your gods are real, if your prophet, the Baal is real, then, you know, let's see which will consume the sacrifice with fire. And, you know, here's Elijah poking fun at the prophets of Baal and sitting there going, what's your God? Using the bathroom? Is he taking a nap? You know, but what does he do? He goes and he has the people douse his altar or his, whatever you want to call it, with water and a moat of water all the way around it. And he sits there and he calls on the name of the Lord. The Lord says, that's enough, Elijah. He calls on the name of the Lord and that fire comes down, consumes the fat sacrifice, consumes the water, dries up the moat that's around the sacrifice. I mean, that's a powerful God. And yet you had Elijah, standing in the faith of Jesus Christ and His Word. Because all that Elijah did was stand on the truth of the Word. He didn't stand in himself. He standed in the Lord and what His Word had said. Wasn't about proving Elijah one bit. And you know, we get that excitement. We get that confidence. We get that hope in our times and our lives when we have situations that comes up. I know I do. You know, I've seen the Lord move many, many times in my life. And when now, you know, when I got promoted to that manager spot, when I came down from the bottom, that's where they wanted to get to, but I had screwed that up because of my own unbelief and my own sin, and I started all the way down at the bottom, man. I lost everything, went to a different store, everything. And I remember those things, and I just watched as the Lord redeemed those things and bring me back up, and I was in a much better place in humility and excitement of what the Lord is able to do. And I was excited on what the Lord's able to do because I knew, even though this thing was way bigger than me, I knew that the Lord could meet me. And I knew that the Lord could be glorified in this as how He was in my past testimonies. But let's look at another point where Elijah went to. Because I want to share the other side of that. I want to share the depravity of even going through those times. I remember when Elijah, and then you know what happens? And he kills another thing is he kills all the prophets of Baal. Alone. 300 prophets. But you know what? He comes up to Jezebel. Or he flees from Jezebel. And I don't want to go there and read that part right now. There's more details than I can remember. But he flees, you know, Jezebel's going, I'm going to kill Elijah as he killed my prophets. And what does he do? He runs. Here's a man that stood against the king and his army, against the prophets of Baal, and the Lord showed up with fire and proved that he was there. And yet, still, one woman, he flees to the mountain. And he falls down before his face and says, I am no different than my fathers. I am no different than my fathers. Yet I had a time like that. Over all the redemption that the Lord has done. Out of all Him showing up for me at every turn and every move. Every turn. And not letting me go, and Him proving Himself that He's faithful. You know, I fall into that. I am no different than my fathers. I can go from that confidence in the Lord and what He's able to do. With some trials and tribulations and tripness, I can see myself 5,000 just... That sin that so easily besets you. I know what you're talking about, Lisa. And it's so easily I just fell into the unbelief and saying, this is impossible. Lord, this is impossible. I don't see in the world how I can keep on top of any of these things that is before my face for me to do. Lord, help me. I call up Rick, crying, tears down my eyes. Freaking out. I'm frustrated. I can't. Call him again. Help me, big brother. I'm a jerk. So I know. Understood that place. Understood that place. And it's so easily I can trip you up. The sin that so easily besets us. But you know what? God giveth more grace. And you know, as soon as I seen this change that was going on, and I was very excited about, as quickly as I just seen more things happen at once. Boom, 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 boom. Which brings me to Peter. Wherein you greatly rejoice. I have some time. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You know, I think we have all been there. Have all been there. And if you haven't been there, you're just lying. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I know that through all those things and all those trials and those manifold temptations that came about, it was yet good for me. Because it showed yet the deficiency of the faith that I have in Jesus Christ and what He's able to do. Don't get me wrong, that faith is being worked on. Don't get me wrong, there is a lot of work that has been done from when I first started coming to the Lord and where I'm not at now. I'm not trying to negate that, but I'm also seeing still my deficiency and the faith and hope in the Lord. And when I look around, what that showed me through those trials and tribulations of just back to back, boom, 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 stuff happening. It showed me that. And it's a good thing. Painful. Gosh, painful. My goodness. But praise God, because these things need to be revealed. And I remember talking about examining your motive. I'm telling you right now, there's things I thought my motive was right in. I'm absolutely wrong in. And those are being shown before my face here lately, daily. There's so much there, it's just like I got a little bleep of it. It's scary. It's scary. And I know with men it is impossible. With my own self it is impossible for me to have that unfeigned faith. But with God, all things are possible. You know, we talked about that purifying of that silver, right? It gets heated up and those impurities float to the top. They get scraped off. Cools back down. You heat them up. Those impurities come to the top and get them scraped off. It cools back down. And it purifies that silver. Just as your faith, the Lord works with you. And He does these things and He allows these things to happen so that that faith becomes unfeigned. That faith in the Lord Jesus Christ becomes pure. So I really need to take a look at those things. And as painful as they are and as ugly as they are, that I see floating up into me, I need to say, thank you, Lord, for showing them to me. Thank you, Lord, for showing them to me. I don't want that anymore. The Lord wants to see the salvation of my soul. The Lord wants to see the salvation of your soul. That's why He works with us like that. So that we can have that faith in Him that's pure. We talk about the rock tumbler, and the thing is just you hang in there and you commit. No matter how ugly things get, no matter how backwards things get, no matter how upside down things get, you hang in there and you let the Lord do His work. You let the Lord do that surgery on your heart. You let Him pull off the weeds out of that thing. I remember Davey was talking about, and it's really Ricky that brought it back to my attention. You have this great, beautiful tree. But it doesn't look so beautiful because you have all this moss hanging up on there. What the Lord is trying to do is tear that moss off so you can grow. So you can become fruitful in Him. But as that moss is getting ripped off, if that tree could talk, it's probably going, ah, stop, hurts. It's good for you. It's just like you getting a scrape on your knee. You got that thing infected. The kid's been playing around all day. Didn't tell anybody he scraped on the knee. Thing's all infected, swollen, pussy, and then all of a sudden the hydrogen peroxide comes in. Don't put that stuff on me. Get away from me! But it's good. It hurts, but it's good. It's got to get cleaned out. It could kill you. Did you know that it's an interesting thing. I had a teacher one time that got a scrape. She's about 50-something years old. Got a scrape on her knee and got so badly infected, she had to go to the emergency room and ended up with surgery and crutches. It was a scrape on a knee. And if she didn't do that, it could have gotten her blood and it could have killed her. You're talking a scrape on your knee. So it is a vital for you. It's vital for me. As much as I don't like it, it needs me to happen. And what you find is when you get through that and when that cut heals up, you notice yourself freer than you were before. You notice you have something else that you experience that can help minister unto somebody going through the same thing. What you know is that you're cleaned up. And you healed up, and that thing doesn't bother you anymore. The Lord is good. Very good. And I know one of the things that was going through my mind this morning. I know I prayed with Lisa, I prayed with Hope, but you know, I'm sitting over there and over at Paul's place, and I'm going, Lord, I just don't know. You know, Lord, I really don't have anything to offer. I know you heard that before, but I really don't. I mean, I really know I have nothing to offer. And I'm going, Lord, you know, my heart's dirty. Lord, I don't even have the motivation right now. Help me just even find the motivation. My heart's not in this right now. And I feel like I have fallen from you. But I know your grace is bigger than all this. I know your grace is bigger than my own heart. And all I could do is go to Psalm 51. And say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. I acknowledge my transgression and my sins ever before me. And it ain't nobody's fault but my own. I made the choice to look at the situation. I made the choice to look at all the wrong things. I made the choice to listen to that old doubtful flesh. When your provision has been there for me the whole time and you haven't moved. I have moved. Let me back in your fold again. Take me back in. Reminds me of the prodigal son. That's not in there for no reason. What does the Lord do when He takes me back? Oh, you jerk, you spent up all the money, you spent up all your living. No, He goes, oh, my son was dead, but now he's alive again. Let's put a robe on him. Let's kill the fatted calf. Let's put a ring on his finger, showing that he's mine. And though we may be right here living on this property or not living on this property, though we may be right here among the fellowship of the brethren, though you may be right smack dab in Texas or in Vermont or studying under whoever, you can still be very, very, very far away from the Lord. Even though your physical might be right there, your heart can be as that prodigal son out there. I remember Ricky telling me for years, because I was the one that would physically leave. I would be like, I'm going to go party. This is hard. And I'd go get the crap kicked out of me by the enemy because I walked out and underneath the Lord's, out of his umbrella and his way that he had for me. It wasn't his fault. I walked right out in the danger zone. Don't go out there, I'll kill you. Oh, you dummy. But I remember he would say, tell me, he'd go, you know, Phil, there's no difference between you and I. Whatever, dude. You're like, man, you stuck it out for years. You know, we went to, I mean, you stayed in Vermont with his house full of people. And, you know, I don't know what you're talking about, Rick. I'm very different than you. And there, I got issues. And I don't know if I'll ever come around to a place of you where you're at. You know, Rick, I'm looking at you. You're committed. You're involved. You're engaged. And he goes, no, Philip, you really don't understand. I'm no different than you are. Yeah, I know we're all sinners and, you know, all these things. Oh, boy. No, Philip, you really don't understand. I am no different than you are. I said, Rick, you went to church all your whole life. And I'm in this. No, Philip, you just physically left. You have physically left many times. You don't know how many times I have left right here in my heart and in my mind where I have left. I might have been physically there, but I was not tapped into the vine like I should have been. And as years goes by, and when I have a family, and years goes by, I know I understand exactly what he's talking about now. I might be physically there, but doesn't mean I am tapped in and partaken of that fatness of that olive tree and that life that Jesus Christ left. Because in here in my heart and in here in my mind I have left. Why do you think Paul says I die daily? Because it's a choice every day, every morning to serve the Lord. Why do you think the Lord says those that endure unto the end shall be saved? Because it's a choice every day, every morning to go out and serve Him and be about His business. Why do you think that's in there? I mean, don't get me wrong. We do make a choice. But every morning, we have that same choice every morning. I mean, we make that choice for Jesus Christ to become our Lord and Savior. It's really a choice we need to make every single day. Every morning. 7 days a week. 24 hours a day. The good thing about physically being there is that you have people there to knock you back and play. You got people there that will minister unto you, and they might not even know it. That speaks the truth to you, that encourages you to get back in, or shows you that, hey, I'm out of the way, and I didn't even know. I'm not partaking in the root and the fatness of that olive tree, which is Jesus Christ, like I should be. And the Lord is gracious and loving, as I was talking about purging that silver, to show us more and more where we're really not partaking of it. See, He doesn't show it to you all at one time. He's a gentleman. It'd kill you. Or you just grow utterly hopeless that you couldn't go forward. So He doesn't do that. He takes off those impurities piece by piece. He eats those things up where you're actually not partaking of those things, and He just wipes those things all away. That you may be strengthened in Him. See, there's a place where Paul got to that I was talking with Lisa where I hope all of us to get to. And the time that we get to, it might be at the end of our days, which probably is the end of our days when it happens. And one of those things is what he said was, I've kept the faith. I finished my course. Now there's a crown laid up for me. Paul was not saying that presumptuously. No, he was saying that with a full confidence in the gospel and the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's another part that Paul was speaking in Philippians, I think it was, and that is, you know what? To be with the Lord is great, but it's better, it's more needful for me to be here with you guys. Which, quite frankly, I think that's where Paul's at. You know, and I have a hope that Paul is going to be coming through this other side, and that, you know, I heard from Lisa this morning that he got into a regular room. So I'm saying, praise the Lord. I have a hope and I have a confidence that he's going to come out this thing strengthened even better and mightier, and a testimony of deliverance. They're going to help our sorry butts get through the things we struggle with, because we freaking need it. But we need to be diligently pressing forward. We need to be at that place where Paul was when he says, not that I have attained, not that I have already attained, but I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark. And no matter how much this fleshy thing is lying to me, no matter how much this thing's trying to condemn me, no matter how much my heart's trying to condemn me, I know that the Lord is bigger than that. And I need to put my faith and trust in what the Word says, not with this old carnal nasty thing that's trying to drag me to hell saying. The Lord is good and He wants you free. He wants you free. He hasn't called us to bondage, but to liberty. What does the Scripture say? Yea, we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Because we are. Because in Christ Jesus, not even death hath dominion over you. In Christ Jesus, no power of the enemy has dominion over you. And you're free to go preach that gospel that everybody needs, whether they realize it or not. With that, I'm done. Thanks for listening, guys.
I was thinking about the scripture in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And as Phil was talking about the trials and tribulations, and the thing that came back to me was, you know, you can't have a clean heart unless you see that the one you already have is dirty. And those trials and tribulations and the weeding of the unbelief in our hearts, if we have the right perspective, we can praise God for that and see it as an opportunity to be shed of that unbelief. Instead of focusing, for me, I'm very guilty of focusing on how painful it is and how rough it is. And I'm really, really good at that. But I don't have to. I mean, if I change the perspective and praise God for the weeding of that unbelief, because He loves us, because He wants us to be in heaven, He wants us to be shed of that unbelief. And it's an answer to the prayer, if you've prayed it, of create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Praise God for that.